Hello and welcome to the Majlis, the Central Asia podcast at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. I'm Mohammed Tahir, director of the Turkmen Service at Radio Free Europe. Gunfire in clashes around the Tajik-Afghan border is not new, but on March 5th, there was an open confrontation in which two people were killed. One is reportedly a Tajik border guard. According to Tajik State Committee for National Security, the fighting erupted when several people crossed into Tajik territory from Afghanistan. Although there is conflicting reports about the identity of those people, some suggesting them as a drug traffickers. This comes at a time when Tajikistan is internally passing through a turbulent period. In September, Deputy Interior Minister killed in clashes with the security forces. Earlier, high-level security official left the country to join ISIS in Syria. In the light of these developments, Russian forces are also downsizing their presence in Afghan-Tajikistan border. In this situation, the question is, what does the recent fighting say about the existing cross-border threat? How capable is the Tajik forces to handle the situation? This is the topic for this edition of Majlis, the weekly Central Asia podcast. To discuss the subject, I have Rashid Ghani Abdullah, who is the Tajikistan-based independent political analyst. Amin Mudaqiq, director of the Radio Mashal, the Pakistani service of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, who was recently in the Afghan side of the Tajik border, is joining me in the studio. Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Central Asia blog called Kishlak Awazi, is also joining us over the phone. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Majlis.
Thank you.
So let's start with this. As I have said in the opening, what really has happened on the border on March 5th? I mean, maybe we can start with you.
Well, that particular incident which you referred to is indeed not clear. There are conflicting reports. As I was speaking to a reporter in Kunduz yesterday, he said that the Afghan official did not confirm it. But some other people say, yes, it took place in a faraway area, in an isolated area of Takhar province, when the government forces pushed the Taliban to the bank of Axis River, Amur River. There are some small islands which are disputed, which always change its location due to the river flow. Some Taliban, fearing the government heavy artillery and tanks fire, they fled into this small island, which are surrounded by water. Mm. And the Tajik border from other side saw, and then the helicopter gunship came and bombarded the area. So the Afghans in Takhar, mm-hmm. I heard that they are confirming one casualty, but these casualties are, at least to the Afghan side, are not pretty much confirmed. These are kind of battlefield noises. They say that many killed and that many injured, but there is no confirmed report.
Okay, this is what the Afghan side says. Mr. Abdullah, what do you hear in Tajikistan about this incident?
You see, the first report was done by Tajik border guards, and they say that there was a group of traffickers and border guards clashed with them. Right. But lately, based on reports by Afghan government, a higher executive border, I mean higher national committee for security said it was a group of Taliban. You see, we have a different version of the same thing.
Right.
It means that, you see, to my mind, mm-hmm. what has happened is not simply the appearance of the very clear fact. It is that the instability is the permanent state of affairs in Afghan territory bordering the Tajikistan.
Right.
And because there is no stability, such things will be happened.
Right.
It was not some isolated event. Permanently something has happened. But mainly the reason, the cause is, to my mind, is instability, in general instability of Afghanistan, and particularly stability in the territory of Afghanistan bordering the Tajikistan.
Tajikistan, right. Whatever happened, whoever were there, either drug traffickers or the Taliban militants, but the fact is the fighting took place in that incident, which was on March 5th. Bruce, how dangerous was that, regardless of who was there, either the Taliban or the drug traffickers? How dangerous was this event?
Well, first, I just want to say that, and we were talking about this earlier, that drug traffickers, and it doesn't mean that they're not Taliban. I mean, the two could be the same thing, absolutely. What I find curious about this latest incident is, at least according to the reports I've seen, it looks like the Tajik border guards initiated a security operation against these people on the island. Now, in the old days, you know, a few years ago when the Taliban were coming up to the north and they controlled most of Afghanistan in the late 1990s, refugees used to flee to these islands in the river, in the Amu Darya River. And the border guards didn't let them come over to the Tajik side of the border, but they also didn't go after them on the islands. So I'm very curious about why, at least again, based on the reports I've seen, why the Tajik border guards and the defense ministry decided that it was necessary to actually conduct a security operation and go to these islands and attack these people. Which we haven't really seen before. Like I said, precedent would have shown that the Tajik forces would have stayed and just kept them from actually crossing the river to the Tajik side of the border, but not gone after them. So whatever was going on there, the Tajik border guards seemed to feel that it was an imminent threat to them and that there was a need to actually launch a small offensive onto the island to go and get these people.
Well, Bruce, we also even don't know if that clashes took place on the island or in the Tajik border. So there are conflicting news about, as the conflicting news coming out about the identity of those people. I mean, I'm coming to you, like Bruce mentioned, that how to differentiate between drug traffickers and the militants in that part of the country?
Well, the drug traffickers are mostly locals. But the Talibans are mostly from outside. The Talibans who are there, they are the Jundullahs people who are bearded people, you know, they look like typical Taliban dressing and bearding. But the drug traffickers are clean-shaved, like they look like normal modern people because with the appearance they can move. All around, as Bruce said, that in this area, the drug traffickers are always escorted by the Taliban. They prepare the security, and the drug trafficker move on in this area. But the fear is that in addition to the drug traffickers in Taliban, you have a big Jundullah base in Khostak, in nearby Badakhshan, which are still there. And in as the weather warm up, there is a fear that they will also follow the suit. But I think, as it is reported, I don't see it as only drug incident, because that Afghan official also hinted to that when the pressure comes, the Taliban cross into that island.
Right. So. The question is, Mr. Abdullah, if they were to be drug traffickers, does it make the threat less dangerous?
I see that any illegal actions, it's always dangerous. You see, regardless of whether it is motivated politically or criminally, it's always danger. Therefore, the situation should be treated properly. What I mean? I mean that there should be good connections between local officials, I mean both military officials on both sides, in order to avoid any misunderstanding. You see, there should be clear vision of what is going on the Afghan territory, because in Tajik territory, everything is ordinary, nothing extraordinary. But in Afghan part of border, always something new is happened. And in order to avoid any kind of misunderstanding, any clashes to be avoided, there should be exchange of news, exchange of information, exchange of data, exchange of I don't know everything, in order to avoid, to neutralize any possibility of increasing of tension between on the border guard. You know that border guard is always in some kind of state of tension. They always wait in waiting something which would be happen. Therefore, sometimes they maybe can open fire instinctively. Or by therefore, in order to avoid any kind of incidents, I see that there should be good connections between both sides, in order both sides will be able operatively to discuss the situation, to study the situation, and come to mutual understanding regarding this or that event.
So there is no proper channel of communication between Tajikistan and Afghan border guards. Is it what you are saying?
It seems like this, because you see, but it's very difficult to establish a good channel of change of information, because when the whole state is unstable, when there are a lot of field commanders, that there are everybody who can gather around himself 10, 20, 50 person, consider himself a source of law and everything, it's very difficult to something to be exchanged. Therefore, I see that efforts should be done, should be spent in order to bring calm to the country, you see. Otherwise, Afghanistan will be a permanent source of disturbances for everybody. In my opinion, we should see the root of problem. The problem is that Afghan is divided. There is no strong government. There is no strong government which able to control the whole territory. In my opinion, that situation should be changed. But how? I mean, only through one way, through launching the whole nation negotiations between all parties, all forces which have this this or that kind of influence in the country. We should, just like it was done in Tajikistan approximately 20 years ago when peace talks was launched, and through this Tajikistan came to stability. Why it couldn't be implemented the same model in Afghanistan?
Yeah, it appears that Afghan government is trying to speak to all parties from last several years now, but what's also clear is that it is not reaching it to the point which could bring stability to the country. Bruce, the one point Mr. Abdullah mentioned is that there is not much of a exchange of information between two sides and that border. I'm curious, what will it help, even if there is exchange of information? Because in the Afghan side of the border, the Afghan official security forces are not in charge.
Yeah, well, that is a big problem. And to be fair here, it is not just the Tajik-Afghan border. It's Afghanistan's borders with everybody else, too, that have this problem. Yes, of course, there does need to be a level of confidence on both sides of the border. It would help things a lot if the Tajik authorities would know that if their border guard sees a suspicious group walking along the southern side of the river, that they could call somebody on the Afghan side and tell them that they have some concerns about some band of people that's out there. We don't know, we don't really know what the level of cooperation is. I imagine it changes from place to place. Probably some of the relationships are really good when they actually are within visual range of each other and can communicate with each other. But in some cases, let's face it, Afghanistan, unfortunately, has been treated by the international community for really 30 years as kind of a potential contagion. And people are afraid to let Afghan problems spill into their borders. So the usual response to the problems in Afghanistan is to seal off your own border with the country to the best of your ability and hope that nothing from Afghanistan comes across. There was a good point about the fact that, who are you going to be in contact with? If you're on the Tajik side of the border, do you contact the local militia commander? Do you try to get in touch with the Afghan military? Do you try to get through to Kabul? These are real problems, especially in a situation that's unfolding very, very rapidly, where you can't wait for an answer. You have to have some kind of contact very quickly so that you can decide your next course of action. And you might only have a few minutes to do that.
Right. Let's take a short break here. When we come back, we will discuss about Tajik forces' presence on the border and their ability to handle the situation. Welcome back to the Majlis Central Asia podcast at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. Today we are discussing security situation in Afghan-Tajik border in the light of recent clashes on the border in which two people were killed, including a Tajik soldier. To discuss the subject, I have Rashid Ghani Abdullah, independent political analyst based in Tajikistan, Amin Mudaqiq, director of Radio Mashal, who was recently in the Afghan side of the Tajik border, Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Central Asia blog called Kishlak Awadhi. I am Mohammed Tahir, director of the Turkmen service at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. Welcome back, gentlemen, to the Majlis. Now, I think all of us agree that whatever has happened, either that was the only drug traffickers or the people who have some connection to both sides, drug traffickers or the militants, some illegal activity has happened in which Tajik forces have responded to that. But looking into the Afghan side of the border, there are so many other elements that that can threaten the border. Militants, among them are Central Asians, especially Tajik militants are based there. In recent days, local officials, I mean, you were mentioning just a few minutes ago, in the Afghan side of the border, a number of occasion Afghan officials said that those militants have crossed into the Tajik territory when they came under pressure by the advancing Afghan forces. I mean, if you can, please draw us the current security map of the area which has a direct connection to Tajikistan in northern Afghanistan.
Well, it starts from Badakhshan and stretch up to the Kunduz. There are three Afghan provinces, Badakhshan, Kunduz, and Takhar, right, who has border with Tajikistan. And let me say one thing that which my friends Bruce and Mr. Abdullah indicated in their comments, that saying that it is difficult to establish contact with the Afghan side. I think, on the contrary, these days it is much easier, because after the fall of Kunduz, the Afghan government now have a central command for that, what they call it, northeastern zone. So the both of the police, Pamir Zonal Command, and the Afghan military 20th Division is now based in Kunduz, who both of these military entity are in charge of the whole area from Badakhshan to Kunduz. I mean, there is now a source which is in charge of overall military situation or security situation placed in Kunduz, that the Tajik side can easily contact them and get a response. But the problem is, I think, that both governments do not take this cooperation seriously. When the Tajik launch an operation, they do not coordinate with the Afghan side, with the 20th Division, which is based in Kunduz, or 707 Pamir Police Division, which is based in Kunduz. If they do so, I think there will be a good result, because then the Taliban will be squeezed in a small area.
Right. We are coming to the question I have asked. I mean, even if there is a cooperation, I mean, Afghan security forces are not in charge of several areas, like overall in charge of several areas which has a direct connection, territorial border with Tajikistan, for example. So can you give us an idea how those areas bordering to Tajikistan looks like in northern Afghanistan? Who's in charge of what?
Well, in Badakhshan side, as I see it, most of the area in country are under the government. Mm-hmm. But there are some pockets which is a bit far away from Tajik area. The fortunate thing is that the area where militants are based, not all of them are under Tajik area. They are rather in the mountainous area, in the tough and rough mountains. The area close to the border, I mean, the area alongside the Axis River, in most part, they are controlled by the government. But there are some pockets that which the militant can get access to that pockets. Hmm. In that particular area, I think the main reason that they are succeeding is that is the lack of cooperation, the lack of contact between the Tajik and Afghan Afghan forces. As the Afghan forces were complaining in Takhar that in this particular incident were already informed about this to the Tajik side, but they didn't take it seriously. Mm-hmm. The key point is that both forces should be alert and quick to respond to an incident. If there is anything happening on the Tajik side, the Afghan side forces should be ready, you know, in hours. And if something happening on the Afghan side of the river, of the border, Tajik forces should be ready within an hour to control the situation.
I mean, did I hear you correctly saying that in one of the recent operations, Afghan forces, in fact, informed Tajik side, and they did not take it serious?
This is what the official in Takhar said.
Is it what your understanding is, Mr. Abdullah?
Yeah, I'm understanding, but I also see, I see that, I insist on my main point. You see, the problem is, the always instability is regenerating, reproducing itself. We should find question why. Why it is so difficult to bring stability on other side of the river. I see that it's impossible by using only military means to stabilize the situation, not only on territory we are talking about it, but on the whole territory of the country. Therefore, I see the proper way to find political solution for whole Afghan problem should be found out. But the problem is also that since in Khilobi Thaur, April Revolution, Afghan became international problem. different world powers, regional powers are intervening into the Afghan affairs, and therefore, for 40 years, it's impossible to find proper solution for the whole Afghan problem. Therefore, I see that the whole issue should be raised on higher level too, as it happened lately with Syria, when finally Russia and the United States came to agreement that something should be done in order to bring stability in that country. I see that the same thing should be done in Afghanistan as the first. The second, the whole nation negotiation process should be launched in Afghanistan. Not even the smallest force should not be excluded from this process. It should be all national, all inclusive negotiation process. Only through such way, Afghanistan could be transferred from the current period of permanent war to the period of finding peace. Otherwise, we could see such incidents on the permanent base.
Right. Coming back to the border, as you pointed out, Mr. Abdullah Bruce, you might wish to jump in here. So whether any inclusive solution is being reached in Afghanistan, if it is the case, when it will happen, that's a distant question at the moment. But the fact is, in the border, that clash has happened on March 5th, but that is not the first time. We have been talking about in the Majlis before that there is already an existing route through which people crosses from Afghanistan to Tajikistan, from Tajikistan to Afghanistan. So what does it say about the ability, let alone the cooperation, all these things are different, but the ability of these border guards in both sides of the country to control the situation there?
Once when Taliban were dominating on 19% of Afghan territory, I should say at that time, the northern part of borders with CIS countries, which were controlled by Taliban, was the safest part of border. When that part of controlled by Northern Alliance was very vulnerable, the situation was there. It means that there should be strong central government able to control everything on the territory, including all it is border regions, whether it's the borders with Iran, with Tajikistan, with Uzbekistan, with Turkmenistan, or with Pakistan, etc. Otherwise, we could see reproduction of such incidents from time to time.
Right.
On the regular basis.
In fact, this question was to you, Bruce. If you have anything to say about this subject, that is fine. Go ahead. The other thing which makes me curious about is that I know Russian soldiers who were the guarantor of Tajik-Afghan border was present there until very recently. The fact that they are relocating or downsizing its presence, how much of a big blow is that for the border security, which is already not secure enough?
I see that.
Mr. Abdullah, let's bring Bruce first, then we will continue with you.
Okay.
The first thing I would say is, one, that border is extremely difficult to guard. A lot of it is mountainous, and the routes that these people have been using are what we would call goat trails. You simply can't watch every place along that border. Obviously, when the Russians were a little bit closer, that helped. The more eyes, the better off you are. You know, that said, it's just a 1,200-kilometer long border there. And where are you going to put your people? You have to put them in strategic places. And like I said, it's long, it's mountainous, rugged terrain in many of the places. There's really no effective way technologically or in terms of manpower that you can watch every bit of that border. Another thing that you have to take into account here is the fact that the people guarding the border are not extremely well paid. This drug dealing business has been going on ever since the collapse of the Soviet Union. It started picking up pace. People making $100 a month on either side of the border are going to be susceptible to offers of, several hundred dollars or $1,000 to look the other way for 15 minutes while somebody sneaks across the border. And as you pointed out, Mr. Tahir, the shootouts along the border have been going on even when the Russian border guards were there on the border. This stuff was still happening, and people were still getting through from the Afghan side into Tajikistan and coming back from Tajikistan into Afghanistan. So, with what we got, the available resources now, there really is no way to close the border. obviously, it would be better if they would cooperate a little more than they have. And I was glad to hear Amin say that they are. And I know that there is better cooperation than, say, 10 years ago. But the fact is, it's a rough place. It's a remote place. A lot of the people, a lot of the guys that are there are young guys, teenagers, 20 years old or something like that. They don't want to be there. And they're a little bit resentful of being taken away from their homes and having to work for not very much money, and that can create its own problem in itself.
I think the case of Russia requires a little bit more discussion here because it is trying to play in both sides of the border in these days. On one hand, Russian soldiers are leaving the bordering area in Tajikistan. On the other hand, we also hear that they are in contact with the Taliban. Even there was reports that Russia has given some sort of technical support or maybe military support to Taliban to fight against the militants. I'm a little bit curious in this aspect, that the role that Russia is trying to play in the area. Are you clear in Tajikistan, Mr. Abdullah, about the position Russia is taking here?
You see, the Russian left the Tajik border based on request of Tajikistan in 2005, more than 10 years ago.
Right.
And what military, Russian militaries based in Tajikistan, they are basically ground forces, regular ground forces, ground forces.
How far are they from the border?
Yeah, they are. You see, Tajikistan is not a big country. From any part of Tajikistan, you can reach very soon to the border. You see, it was in Kulab, it was in Kurgantube, you see, and it was in Dushanbe.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, as I can see, Russians for the time being rethink the modality of the military operations based, to my mind, on their experience in Syria, you see. It was be able for them in very limited time to bring a lot of forces from Russia to maybe Arab base, etc., you see. I mean that maybe this Syrian experiment will affect the whole thinking of Russian actions in situation in Tajikistan. Therefore, in my opinion, it's something new is happening. Hmm. Maybe they will not be in a need to keep a large forces in as it was previously in Tajikistan, but having something like bases to where they could transport what they will be need in the case of necessity by the request of Tajikistan, of course. You see, I think that something is going on from this point of view, some innovations. I don't know how to explain it. In my opinion, we can see that there was rumors or maybe information that they are reducing the number, the actual number of soldiers. But
right,
instead of it, the technical potential is increasing. You see, I see that something new is going on the light of what is happening, what was happened in Syria, when Russians, through their military actions, were able to change the course of events.
Mm-hmm.
You see, maybe the same tactics they will consider as more useful even for Tajikistan. However, they keep some number of, they maybe transfer division structure to the brigade structure, something like it, I heard.
We are also hearing that Russia is downsizing number of soldiers and operations or activities in Tajikistan. Bruce, how do you read this? On one hand, we hear that the Russia is in contact in this or the other way with the Taliban militants who are the threatening force in the Afghan side of the border. On the other side, Bruce, I'm coming to you. On the other side, Russia is downsizing its presence in Tajikistan. Bruce, how do you read this contrast?
You see,
Mr. Abdullah, let's let Bruce talk here. What he says.
I'll just be real quick. Well, one, of course, the easy answer for Russia's downsizing is the financial problems that Russia's having, and that's certainly something to consider. I know that Russia, the Russian Defense Ministry, has been claiming this makes them more mobile, and that fits in quite well with Mr. Abdullah has been saying that, in fact, you know, that they're bringing in more helicopter gunships and armor and things like that, so they don't need as many people because the firepower has actually increased because of these heavy machines that they're bringing in. At the same time, you know, Russia's always played a very strange role in Tajikistan. Certainly during the Civil War, it was uncertain exactly what some of the things that they were doing. And in terms of militants, you know, we saw that the Islamic movement of Uzbekistan, when they were supposed to be expelled from Central Asia entirely, it was Russian helicopters that brought them to Afghanistan and let them out there in 1999. And then they came back across the border within a matter of a few weeks, you know, and there was other incidents like that, too. So this latest meeting with the Taliban, of course, a suspicious mind would have problems with this. And I can understand why it might cause some concern for people in the Tajik government, because the Russians did not announce they were going to hold talks with the Taliban. And then they did. And finally, they admitted that. And what was even more frustrating, I imagine you would say, for the Tajik authorities was that apparently they brought the Taliban representatives to the base of the 201st in Tajikistan to conduct these negotiations without apparently informing the Tajik government that this was going on. So if you're the Tajik government right now and you've listened to years, you know, like Mr. Abdullah said, the border guards were there until 2005. Well, for the last 10 years, most of the last 10 years, Russian officials have said, you should let us put our border guards back there, because that's the ultimate defense for you guys and for the greater Commonwealth of Independent States. And the Tajik government has resisted this. So, you know, now you have a small uptick in activity along the border. And it comes on the heels of, you know, Russia having so-called secret negotiations with the Taliban. And it's unclear why these had to be secret. The Chinese have entered in negotiations with the Taliban without it being secret.
Okay.
You know, if you're in Dushanbe, you have to wonder, whose side is Russia on? Ultimately, they're on Russia's side, of course. But, I mean, is this an ally, or are they going to try to force Tajikistan into taking a course of action that suits the Kremlin?
You also wonder about lots of other things. I mean, how things are going to develop in the future would be a big question to answer. And let's wrap up our discussion with answering that final question. I will start, Mr. Abdullah, with you. So how do you see things are developing in that specific area of border going forward?
You see, in my opinion, some kind of cooperation, more effective cooperation, will be established between Tajik forces and their counterparts from Afghanistan. But providing that those counterparts, Afghan counterparts, will be on the permanent and stable base on the border and the country, that they will be able to control the territory. At that time, it will be, I think, that some kind of good cooperation relations will be established. I see that there is no other way except establishing good relations between Tajik and Afghanistan's partners. I mean, militaries from both sides, of course, under the auspices of political rules, I mean.
Right.
You see, it should be done. This also, you see, I mean that in future, if there would be the good negotiations between maybe major powers will be launched in Afghanistan, regarding the peace problem and everything, I see that it will bring much more stability and predictability of everything in that part of the world, as I see, that maybe corner of the world.
Right.
I mean that there should be done something most positively. It's local powers, I mean both Tajiks and Afghans and others, also should press big powers to be most positively regarding the bringing stability and peace in Afghanistan. I see that such kind of cooperation is still be not existing for the time being.
Right. I mean, what is your pessimistic and optimistic scenario about the future of this specific area? Please jump in here.
Well, I'm a bit optimistic because the Afghan government is now paying more attention to the northern Afghanistan, contrary to the previous years, as the fighting season, the spring, what they call it, is coming. The new military divisions, new police headquarters are being set up, new weaponry, particularly that light aircraft A-29, which is provided by the United States, is moving toward that northern Afghanistan. Yeah. But in the meantime, and also as we saw, the Taliban were crushed in Baghlan, the electricity was restored to Kabul. Now there is more attention, and the Afghan government is very well aware of the upcoming fighting season, that those hardcore fighters of Jundullah who are stationed in Badakhshan, in Takhar, in Kunduz, lots of idle in their bases. I'm sure that they will start action when the weather warms up and when the snow is melted. There will be the northern Afghanistan will see a harsh fighting in the season coming ahead. But the pessimistic side, but the optimistic side is that the government is now paying more attention and they are much more ready than before.
Bruce, final words briefly, please.
Well, you know, the pessimistic side, of course, would be that this fighting just kind of goes on and on, although I'm willing to, you know, at least partially agree with Amin that I see that they are getting ready for a spring offensive, and so at least they're taking this very seriously. A few years ago, there wasn't many problems up there, so they didn't really have to worry. I think that what happened in the last couple of years took a lot of people by surprise, and that's too bad. The one thing that I think is essential and is probably impossible is that the three Central Asian governments that border Afghanistan should really coordinate their activities a lot better than they have been so far. You know, we have Tajikistan who has their policy, and it's also partially based on the fact that they have Russian forces backing them up. We have Uzbekistan with a much shorter border, but it has its own policy. And then we have Turkmenistan, and we're not really even sure what the policy is of Turkmenistan now. But what we are sure of is that all three of those countries have a different way of looking at the Afghan problems. It would be good if they would find some way to coordinate and so that we would have just a single policy along the northern Afghan border. And that might help to push events in the right direction a little bit quicker.
Right. Thank you, Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia blog, Kishlak Owazi, for your insightful comments. Also, big thanks goes to Rashid Ghani Abdullah, who is the Tajikistan-based independent political analyst, and Amin Mudaqiq, director of Radio Mashal, the Pakistani service of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. Thank you very much for your participation in the majlis, gentlemen.
You. Thank you much.
This is it from me, Mohammed Tahir, director of the Turkmen Service of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. Bye-bye.